Got some sobering news yesterday, but with a hopeful ending. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Pearl, we were waiting to see what Deion Sanders' press conference would be about. It turns out he had bladder cancer, which is very serious. He luckily was able to catch it in time. He's made a full recovery as far as being cancer-free, but he's still going to have to deal with the effects of losing his bladder.
Yeah.
And then they've kind of recreated one using parts of his small intestine. I mean, medical science today is just unbelievable. But Deion kind of went between being, you know, very somber and very serious at times to also, you know, being jokey and kind of being very candid and also very relatable as he was talking about this story.
It was in the air coming into this press conference. I think that people must have known his cancer was thrown around this weekend a lot. But I don't think people knew that he had had it and that it had been cured, which is amazing news because I thought, I was kind of expecting, hey, I might have to retire from football because I'm still dealing with this. So in a way, it's a very victorious press conference. You mentioned it, there was definitely somber moments, but then he was back to being Deion. So this is by far the best case scenario. It could have easily, as Deion explained, ended another way.
Yeah, just really, 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 really life-threatening issues that now have been resolved thanks to modern science. And thanks, I think, to also Deion's positive attitude. Let's hear first, a little of Deion, and then we'll get into the fallout here. Here is Sanders, the Hall of Famer, getting emotional, talking about the journey he's been on.
It has been a tremendous journey, and I'm truly thankful that God is so good. God is so good. You have no idea. You have no idea.
Yeah, very touching moment. He's got his doctor on one side and sort of his like personal assistant slash de facto nurse kind of on the other, flanked by these two women. A brilliant doctor, clearly, Colorado, and he's got a great support system around him.
Yeah, it's amazing because he's had all these medical issues, right? With his toes amputated, vascular issues. Blessing in disguise, right? Because they might not have been doing all these tests if he didn't have all the problems with his lower body. So honestly, I know he's struggled and suffered a lot because of these leg issues and foot issues, but now in a way they saved his life.
Now, this is, of course, Deion Sanders. He'll always be primetime, right? So even in these moments that are so, you know, serious and so sobering, he can always make light of the situation. Here's Deion. I'll hear cut 7, please, Manny, talking about his new life now with the new challenges. And, of course, in only the way Deion can.
I depend on depend, you know, if you know what I mean. I truly depend on depend. Like, I cannot control my bladder.
Yeah, and Deion going on to say now he relates to his young grandson. They're both dealing with similar issues, the grandson in diapers and Deion in depend.
Get up and go to the bathroom already 4 or 5 times a night, but then I'm sitting up there waking up, you know, like my grandson. We in the same thing. You know, we got the same problem right now. We going through the same trials and tribulations. We trying to see who has the heaviest bag at the end of the night. Like it's ridiculous. But I'm making a joke out of it, but it's real.
Yeah, and in a disarming way, and Deion imploring everyone, get checked out. You know, men don't like to talk about things. Women don't like to acknowledge these things, but, you know, get checked out. So here's a little bit more on the football side of it. Number one, Deion said there's going to be like a porta potty on the sideline. He's going to have to deal with this even during games. I mean, the amount of awareness that he's going to bring to bladder cancer, to getting tested, all of it, it's really going to be amazing. I think he is going to save people's lives, you know, by being this public figure who is talking about this stuff in a very candid way, even joking about it, kind of making people feel comfortable, you know, talking about these details that can be so personal. But he said, you're going to see a porta potty on the sideline, Pearl. I think you are.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's a double dose of news yesterday because Ryan Sandberg died of prostate cancer. So I think every man must have seen if you read the headlines yesterday, you must have said, okay, it's time to be serious. I actually don't know much about you hear a lot about prostate cancer. Yep. I think of Joe Torre's campaign.
Yep.
There's been a lot of athletes. I have not heard much about bladder cancer, but I think every man's like, oh, okay, it's time to get serious about this. Deion said some interesting things. He talked about how men don't want to go to the doctor. He said specifically black men don't always want to go to the doctor. So I think it was a reminder. And then I think he went on a rant. He's like, I'm not just talking to black men. Like every man, like, it is a guy thing. Like, I get it. I don't like going to the doctor. I don't know if you've ever had periods of your life where you're like, things get busy.
Yeah.
And you forget it. But yesterday was a wake up call. Okay, make an appointment. Get your blood checked out, et cetera, et cetera. I got to tell you right now, you know how I felt about Deion in Colorado. I did not like the hype.
Yeah.
For the last 2 years, I was like, he's getting way more attention than he deserves. I'm full on as a fan right now. I don't know if you feel that way, Maggie. I'm like, I am rooting for this guy because of what you mentioned. He's bringing awareness to this problem. How can you not root for Deion Sanders in Colorado football now? I don't think they're going to win the title or anything.
Right.
I think their expectations are not where we had them at their peak. But now it is went from a polarizing program to a strictly feel-good program in my mind.
Well, I agree, and how could you not? I mean, when he's overcoming something like this, bringing the attitude that he has, the positive attitude, trying to help other people, of course, you know, your view of him. And here's the funny thing I was thinking about with Deion Sanders, who's been in our life forever, you know, as a famous person, as a famous athlete. I don't know if there were a lot of very relatable things about Deion when he was an athlete, right? He was just better than everybody, you know, worked hard for sure, but he's playing, you know, offense and defense. He's playing baseball. These are things that are admired. Like you would admire this about his athletic prowess, but it can't resonate with a regular average person, right?
Yeah.
Like he's an inner circle yeah. Hall of Famer. We've got nothing in common with Deion Sanders. Yeah. He's just better than us and better than 99.999% of athletes walking this earth. He's just better. And then, you know, he does become relatable with being a father and, you know, being a coach and all that. But this really, you see him almost in a totally different light. And I know he had the blood clots and I know he had the toes amputated. He said he had 14 surgeries since he's retired, which is insane. I mean, that's just so, the toll that takes on your body has got to be massive. But this put him, I think, in a totally different light. This is relatable. We all, unfortunately, know somebody who has dealt with cancer.
So how do you think this plays out during the year, though? If Colorado's terrible, for example.
Yeah. Wait, I'm sorry. Can I make one more point? You were saying now that Colorado's like a feel-good story where if it was polarizing before, now with Deion saying that he's cancer-free, if you're just joining us, he told the world yesterday he had bladder cancer, but now he's free, but still dealing with the after effects of that type of cancer. I also feel this way about Shador. Now, Shador didn't know. Deion said he kept this from all of his sons except for Deion Jr., who's like filming everything for their YouTube channel and documenting all of Deion's struggles. But Shador didn't know, Shiloh didn't know, Travis Hunter's like a de facto son didn't know because Deion wanted to make sure they were not, you know, feeling his burden while they're preparing for the NFL draft and getting acclimated. I feel the same way about Shador now with his father dealing with this. You know, Shador's kind of become like a lot of fodder for us to talk about Cleveland's quarterback situation because it is very interesting why he fell to the fifth round. Mm. Now he's battling out, you know, three other guys in a quarterback room. He has not so far been able really to make a dent in that quarterback conversation, in that competition. And I was feeling for Deion's kids as well. I'm not sure if you were...
Maybe that was the mother in you. No, that I did not make that connection at all. So what do you mean you feel for him? Like you're rooting for him in the quarterback carousel? Like what?
Just that he's dealing with a lot, you know, and everyone is. You never know what someone's going through. None of us do. But I was feeling for Shador and for Shiloh also.
Well, yeah, as a human you do. But I'm not sure that's a football story.
Mm.
Like to you, like, so you're viewing if he comes in third string, you'd be like, oh, I feel bad for him.
No, but I mean, anyone who you find out that they're trying to perform at their best while dealing with a heavy burden of either themselves or a family member, I always feel for people who are going through that. No? Anyway.
Yeah, now I'm back off the train. You're like, oh, man. Like, now we're going to stretch this to Shador and Shiloh and hope they.
It's his sons. I know.
You feel bad for them as humans, but it doesn't affect them as athletes. You're still going to view them. I mean, Shador, let's be real, he did come into this process probably the wrong way.
Mm.
He's full of arrogance. He's actually been quite humble. Did you see the note that he told his dad not to come to Cleveland because he's not getting any reps? And he was kind of, not that he was embarrassed about it, but yeah, I don't know. I understand. I'm rooting for Colorado, but you can't make me root for, I'm not going to root for Shador because of this and the Cleveland thing.
I don't know. This is a tough thing for your parents.
Oh man,
to be
are we
going to
overhype? I was like in a good place with the whole Sanders story, and now I'm out again.
What do you mean? How could you?
I
be
just
out?
Felt like
there's no in or out here.
Well, yeah, no. I'm pro Dion, but I'm not going to root for Shador over Dylan Gabriel, Kenny Pickett, and Joe Flacco because of this.
I'm just saying he's dealing with a lot. That's what I'm saying, and you never know what somebody's dealing with behind the scenes. And you know, now it's his very famous father who's thankfully on the other side of this. The football question, as far as Dion is concerned, is, you know, how much longer do you keep going here? I think it would probably just be as long as he feels good. And if that's, you know, another year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, you know, he's not going to stop being an inspiration.
Well, let me ask you this. If they're five, if they say they win four games this year, are people going to criticize him like a normal coach? Are people going to come after him? Their win total, I see, is between 5.5 and 6.5. Mm. They're supposed to be down this year. Their schedule is not hard. I'm not sure why they can't win more games. But I wonder, like, how long does the good feeling last? Because, you know, college football, you could be really brutal on any coach for losing. So does he get a pass if they're bad? I would imagine yes. Because remember, this Colorado football, before Dion, they were terrible.
Right.
So I think now it becomes more realistic. Let's just make them a good program. They don't have to be challenging for the Big 12 title.
I just wonder, well, let's say they do have a you know, below expectation season, whatever that is. Not a bowl game, not a bowl team. We're talking about Colorado, of course.
Yeah, not a bowl. Like, that's very realistic.
Do you start losing guys? You know, the portal is such a funny thing because, you know, it giveth and it taketh. So, you know, you have Julian Lewis, who is this, you know, amazing recruit. You have Caden Salter, who is the more, air quotes, veteran guy who's played at Liberty and now transferred to Colorado. But Julian saying, you know.
Julian Lewis, excuse me.
He's kind of the guy who, how does a negative season, if there is one, right, if they don't make a bowl game, how does it impact your future quarterback would probably be my biggest question.
Well, yeah, Julian Lewis has already been part of three programs already. Like, he's definitely leaving, right? He'll go into the portal to get a new contract at some point.
Or maybe goes to the portal but comes back to Colorado. That happens too if you know, pony up the money.
I mean, you have a great point. If they're a 4-win team, are they going to be able to get Juju Lewis in the high school? I you know how I feel about this. Now I feel like Dion knows very well, like, transfer portal guys are going to win him something. He built a team on transfer portal. So that's a really good question. Is he going to be able to recruit at the highest level? I imagine no. I think Colorado is going to ease into a medium good program, not get a Travis. I don't think they're going to have a Heisman winner and an All-American quarterback in Shador Sanders. Like, I just think the expectations have lowered now, which is fine, right? Because who were they before? I mean, the Mel Tucker thing was a disaster.
That's true. So, I guess the one thing about it is you know, you still have a pretty good staff. A good staff. I mean, they're a famous staff. Marshall Faulk, Warren Sapp. You know, everyone's heard of Pat Shurmur. But you have a good staff around you. You're in the Big 12, which means you always have a chance because the parity in that league. We have no idea what the format's going to be for the college football playoff moving forward. Maybe you are getting two automatic bids. Maybe that is more, you know, exciting for the league. There's still a lot to be determined here. I don't know if I all of a sudden want to lower the bar here on Colorado. Like,
wait,
why
because
can't they compete
Marshall Faulk?
In the Big 12?
What?
I'm saying
the
coaching.
Warren Sapp and Marshall Faulk. Yeah, I know. That's a good point. But you definitely, this year is supposed to be an off year, right? They lost Shador and Travis Hunter.
I think we're not sure.
Well, it's 5.5 wins from Vegas. That's not encouraging.
Well, I mean, we'll see. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476.
Yes, I mean, but at what point are they? It's not a we'll see this year. Like, you're saying, like, they could challenge for the Big 12 and make a...
I don't know. I'm just wondering, this could turn into a double feel-good story, not just that Deion Sanders has beaten bladder cancer, which was the news yesterday, but if it turns out that, you know, he's got two good quarterback options here, and I'm assuming that Salter's probably going to win the job, the more veteran guy, but if we do end up seeing the young phenom as well, why not? Sorry, EJ, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, we saw last year the Big 12 is pretty much unpredictable coming into a season.
Yeah, Arizona State was picked last.
Yeah, and BYU was also not expected to be a team that was going to be competing for a championship. So that conference, I think I'm throwing Vegas out the window. I don't think that there's really any good feel for what's going to happen year to year. And look, they have one of the best left tackles in Jordan Seaton, maybe in all of college football.
He's still 19, probably.
Right, but look at his PFF grade. He had one of the best PFF grades, and next year he'll probably be a first-round pick as a left tackle. You got Amarion Miller, star receiver. It's not like the cover is completely bare. They have something there. And I think in that Big 12, which we know is a little unpredictable and has a lot of parity, I don't know what's going to happen, really, Colorado. I think the conference is wide open.
I think it's funny. I think that the NFL judged Colorado's competition over the last 2 years as subpar. I think they saw everyone we thought Shador was this massive star. And they're like, well, he's beating up on crappy teams. And then when he plays a good defense, it's not the same. So I think this Colorado team was probably overrated by us over the last couple of years. I mean, maybe the whole Big 12 is.
I mean, Travis Hunter still went second overall.
Yeah, but I mean, Shador, I think they judge Shador as like, well, you know, Shador can can have huge numbers against Colorado State. He's not doing it in the SEC. You don't think that was part of the judgment on him?
I think football was part of the judgment, but I think the other stuff was also a bigger part, which was bad interviews, allegedly, the Deion's shadow. I do think all that stuff mattered.
Now I'm starting to think, because we're obviously following this Cleveland Browns quarterback competition so closely.
Yeah.
I'm starting to think we totally didn't understand the football the way the NFL did. I think that they viewed it much differently. I think they thought, okay, this is a mid-conference, a small conference guy. It's not small conference.
Yeah.
But I think they looked at him like people have looked at Big 12 quarterbacks for years as, oh, he was putting up numbers against bad defenses. I don't think the football was where we thought it was. I'm starting to think that now. I'm like, oh, maybe it wasn't just because everyone's saying he's so far behind Dylan Gabriel, because Dylan Gabriel obviously played much better competition. I never thought about that coming in, but everyone's like, Dylan Gabriel is so much more ready than Shador Sanders. Like, how did that happen? We all missed that.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because I look at the top three, no doubt, quarterbacks in the league, and one played in the Big 12 in Mahomes, and obviously Josh Allen played at Wyoming, and Lamar Jackson played at Louisville. So what do we really know about judging quarterbacks coming out of whatever conference they come out of, right?
Well, I mean, Mahomes went 10, Josh Allen went 7, and Jackson went 31, which is...
All mistakes, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, huge mistakes.
Right, but Shador Sanders went in the 5th round.
You understand that, but I'm just saying, like, do you think the NFL actually has a real handle? This was like the Mel Kiper rant after Shador fell to the 5th round. Like, have teams just been messing this up for a long time?
Well, no, I mean, but then look at the top 10 passers. Almost 8 of them were number 1 overall picks. So it's, and they didn't mess up Josh Allen that bad. He fell to 7. I mean, that's not 5th round. That's top 10. That's 2 of the 3 we just mentioned were top 10. If the NFL could go back, Lamar would be number 3 in that draft. So, I don't think they're messing up so bad. I mean, how many non-first-round quarterbacks are there in the NFL right now?
Well, probably like not that handful. Many, yeah. Only a handful. But at the same time, how many quarterbacks, like, do we end up seeing over the course of a year, right? Because the backups become incredibly important because the season's so long, the sport's so brutal that we need so many quarterbacks. And so you're going to, you know... They're going to come from all over the place. You're just trying to get the talented guy.
I mean, the truth is, too, the NFL's gotten way better at this, right? Because there were 6 quarterbacks taken in the first round 2 years ago, and it looks like at least 4 are going to be hits.
Yeah, that may just be an outlier draft, too, of how incredible that, the fact that Michael Penix and J.J. McCarthy went as high as they did.
I don't think it's an outlier.
They were not talked about that.
I'm not sure it's an outlier. I think like that's the trend, right? Like they're getting better at this. The hit rate keeps going up and up and up because we get to see a lot of these guys with the transfer portal. Yeah. You know, we're looking at Cade Klubnik, Garrett Nussmeier. They're all 24 years old. We've seen a lot of tape. I feel like NFL is getting better at that. And I do think that they did not judge football the way that I think the media was way off on Shador's football acumen.
Yeah, we're kind of getting away from Deion here and more talking about now quarterbacks. And obviously the story is Deion Sanders said yesterday that he has had bladder cancer. He's completely cancer-free. He's still recovering, though, from the effects of it. You know, I guess
it's not totally away from Deion because it's about Colorado. It's about who is that program. Was it all hype and bluster? And now I can't believe you guys are talking about the Big 12 title. Like, let's get him to a bowl game now and be thrilled about this, right? Like, if you put that Big 12 title out there, then you're going to be disappointed if he doesn't do it.
Well, I think to EJ's point, it's how many games was Arizona State picked to win last year by Vegas? Probably not many, and they won the league. So it's a tough conference, I think, to predict. You know, maybe I think the SEC, the ACC may be a little bit easier to figure out who the elite teams are as opposed to the Big 12. And I think that's what people like about that specific conference. But, you know, for every Joe Burrow goes number one overall and it's a no doubter, you also get like an Anthony Richardson who went, you know, top four, and he looks like he's going to be maybe a wash. So I don't know. Are they getting better at it, the NFL, at evaluating quarterbacks? Maybe, but there's still a lot of swings and misses.
Look at how many first round quarterbacks are killing you right now.
Yeah, look how many Zach Wilsons there are. I mean, I can give you one for every tit for tat, right? I can give you a guy who didn't make it too, a Trey Lance. I mean, sorry, 49er fans, but.
Well, back to the original point. I do think, and you're not getting me off of this. I think the media and the public did not view Shedeur Sanders football-wise the same way that the NFL did. And I think the same thing is for Colorado. I think Colorado is most likely going to fight to make a bowl game, and that should be good. But since it's Deion, there's going to be expectations. Even in this state, everyone's going to be like, well, they still got Deion. Like, they should be competing for a title. So it's interesting to me. If they're not great, are we going to go like we do as a sports nation? Are we going to judge him for wins and losses? Or are we going to be like, this is a great feel-good story? I think it's TBD.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Let us know what you think about this topic. And luckily and thankfully, a good ending here for Deion, that he's now cancer-free. Coming up, we got a lot of news yesterday. You mentioned the passing of Ryan Sandberg. We'll get into that and what he means to the city of Chicago. We've got a cover story in Men's Health about Luka Doncic. What a glow-up. Turns out he's in Slovenia, all trimmed down. Is it a revenge bot or is it a new way of life? We've got so many things for you on this very busy Tuesday. It's M&P.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. I'm buying a Colorado Buffaloes hat. I'm Team Deion now, except that I'm perfectly happy with a 7-5 season and some bowl game. I didn't even consider that they could still win the Big 12 because they just lost their quarterback and their best defensive player and best offensive player, who is the same person. So yeah. I think they have a young star quarterback. So I'm fine. All I just want to see now is Deion to be competitive. All the hype and the expectations of the last couple of years to me have now disappeared. I think it'd be incredible just to see him win. Maggie, you do point out the Big 12 is unpredictable, so you never know. But listen, just the fact that he's going to be out there is a huge win.
Yeah, yesterday Deion Sanders announced that he had bladder cancer, but he's cancer-free now, still dealing with the effects of bladder cancer, which seem pretty awful, yet he's making light of it and putting a positive spin, a positive face on everything, and imploring people to go get tested and get checked out, because obviously early detection on something like that is going to be life-saving. But, you know, we talked about this even long before we knew what was going on with Deion. We knew he was dealing with some kind of health issue and that took him away from spring practices and stuff. We had this conversation about, like, has he already, like, proved the point? Right? Like, does he actually have anything else to prove on the coaching side? And I think we kind of disagreed, you know, either no, he doesn't, you know, he got Shedeur and Travis Hunter are now off to the NFL, Shiloh even, you know, onto the Tampa Bay Bucks as an undrafted free agent. But, you know, if he could do this and coach and have a successful season by whatever metric that is without Shedeur, without Travis Hunter, man, wouldn't that be something? I kind of think now, in light of all of his health issues and then the latest issue with the bladder cancer, like, I think you just have to say everything is gravy on top of this,
exactly,
right? Like,
I was going to say the same thing. Yeah, it's all good.
And he had already proven the point. You know, you can jump from the FCS level to the FBS level, go to a Power Four conference, and you're challenged. Within 2 years, you're one win away from winning the league, you know, which he was right there at the end. So I think it is just all cherry on top now. 888-710-4ISN. Andrew Bogish is here. What a heck of a news day yesterday.
Yeah, so all the headlines are sponsored by Progressive Commercial Insurance, protecting your business vehicles 24/7. See if you can save at progressivecommercial.com. The tragedy here in Manhattan yesterday evening, very much tying into sports. As we know by now, the mass shooting occurred in the building and outside it that houses the NFL. And one league employee was seriously wounded in the attack. Thankfully, he is in stable condition, according to a memo that Roger Goodell sent to league employees last night. There are also reports that the shooter had a note on him, at least partially explaining his motives, and that included criticism of the NFL for its handling of CTE. Shifting into the norm now, Cowboys left tackle Tyler Guyton suffered a fracture in his right knee during practice yesterday. That's good news because the initial fear was a torn ACL. Guyton does not need surgery and is expected to miss 4 to 6 weeks. And the Broncos have signed wideout Courtland Sutton to a 4-year extension through 2029. He's now guaranteed $41 million. The Chicago Cubs and the rest of baseball mourning the loss of Hall of Fame second baseman Ryan Sandberg, just 65 years old. Sandberg announced a prostate cancer diagnosis back in January 2024, eventually declared himself cancer-free, but then told us back in December the disease returned and spread. Cubs manager Craig Counsell.
He was probably living at a higher level than the rest of us. That's what he was known for. That's what made him special. And that's why people like that make you better. They make you better people.
Counsell's team also playing an important series in Milwaukee. The two teams beginning it tied atop the NL Central.
The 1-1. Yelich drills it deep into right. This is way back. Tucker looking. Track. Wall. Top of the wall. It's gone. It went over. Oh, my. Yelich, a two-run home run off the yellow and into the Cubs bullpen.
That was the finishing touch on an 8-4 Brewer win, so they have the division lead for the moment. Shohei Ohtani, a tie-breaking two-run double, top five in the Dodgers' 5-2 win in Cincinnati. The Rays got a 4-2 win at Yankee Stadium, and Arizona lost in Detroit 5-1. They also saw Eugenio Suarez take a pitch off his right hand in the ninth inning. Suarez is likely to be traded before Thursday's deadline. X-rays were negative, but more testing coming for him today.
Ooh. I thought that'd be like just the irony. The guy's like the number one, trade bait, and he could really there's five teams that want him. Could really bring back a nice haul here, and if he had broken his hand 2 days before the trade deadline.
Well, this whole trade deadline feels like a disaster, right? Because you have Class A, Suarez, and the guy that I know our teams both wanted re-signed.
Seth Lugo. With the Royals,
so yes. What's happening here? And I blame you, Bogus, because you give me these updates.
Yeah, no, that's definitely my fault. But Lugo staying. Class A now can't be traded, and maybe Suarez can't be either.
Is that what they're saying?
I think there are things that X-rays don't see that MRIs do, so I think you need to wait for today to make sure that he is healthy enough to be traded by Thursday.
Did you hear the sound of that ball made when it made contact on his hand? It was harrowing.
Did it sound like breaking bones?
It sounded like it hit his bat. That's how loud of a crack it's at. I thought he broke his hand, but evidently not, according to the X-rays.
He dodged a bullet there. That's crazy. The other part, yeah, and it's all such a variety of reasons, right? Like Emmanuel Class A, which is got caught up in a gambling scandal, of which he has not been cleared yet. He is now on the, non-disciplinary paid leave, basically.
Yes, getting paid, not in trouble yet list.
Yeah, the not in trouble, but you better lawyer up, because why would there be weird gambling activity on two random pitches that you threw where people could bet whether it was a ball or strike?
Well, that's
the strike
other guy.
Zone by a million.
That's the other guy. We don't know exactly. We don't know Class A. We assume it's the same thing, but the other guy, there were two particular, the other guardian.
Oh, I thought that
Ortiz.
Okay.
We know that there were two particular pitches that triggered the betting.
The alarms went off.
Yes.
Yeah. In New Jersey and New York.
Yeah. People have gone back now and found strangely bad ball ones from Class A. And I guess, I don't know what the verbiage that StatCast uses, but his worst pitches are ball one. Doesn't miss as badly with the other pitches, but the first one misses badly sometimes. So the assumption is this was the same thing. But the two pitch thing is about Ortiz, guardian guy that got suspended.
He looks like Carl Lewis throwing out the first pitch on the one pitch I keep seeing on the internet. It bounces about 9 feet in front of the plate.
You gotta leave no doubt, Pearl.
One's a Bob Uecker, just a bit outside. Catcher's reaching up on top of his head. Yeah.
Right. He took out a mascot on one of them. If you have a guy who you want to trade, you got to shut him down now after this. Like, I'm looking at the top trade candidates. Like, you got to, if you're on a team that's struggling, just hide your stars, right? You can't. If this guy hit his hand, it feels like there's something going on with the trade deadline right now, Maggie. Okay. I feel like it's cursed.
Yeah, maybe. And of course, there's the great irony that Seth Lugo, of course, would be coming back to the Mets as a starter when he only begged to be a starter for years and years through multiple GMs, multiple managers. Please make me a starter. Make me a starter. Wouldn't do it. Didn't want to pay him. Obviously, starter money goes to Kansas City, becomes a starter. Now they want him back. I'm glad he's not coming back, to be honest.
What?
I get it. I know, it's a different owner now. I understand. But, like, that was so demoralizing what that franchise put him through for years and years and years.
I mean, I get that, but it doesn't mean I don't want him back. Like, you know, that's water under the bridge.
I don't think it's a feel-good story for him.
I mean, you want to keep playing for the Royals?
I don't know. They made the playoffs last year.
Apparently he does.
They might beat the Yankees this year if they saw him again in the playoffs.
I know. You got Bobby Witt and not a lot else. I don't know. Good for him. I'm happy he's getting paid. I'm happy he's starting. He's become a star starter. I'm happy for him. I like him as a Met. But, yeah, I would love to have him back as a Met. That would have been great.
They don't deserve him.
Ain't going to happen now.
No. Back to you, Bokes.
Last thing for me, WNBA action. Paige Beckers and Arike Ogunbowale each scored 20. The Wings held off the Liberty last night in Dallas, 92-82. Back to you guys.
Bokes, thanks so much. Let's go to Dan. He's in Rochester. Wants to talk about Deion Sanders. Got the news yesterday that he was dealing with bladder cancer, but he is now cancer-free. Thank you to his phenomenal doctors and a good positive attitude. How you doing, Dan?
I'm doing well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be on your show for a moment. You guys have educated me in sports a lot more than I have been in the past. So I appreciate you guys. I just wanted to comment. I just wanted to comment. You know, bladder cancer is a very common cancer for adult men. You know, I've been through five surgeries and six chemos following each surgery. Mm. And it really wasn't something I was willing to mention, talk about, because there's a lot of worse cancers. Not that cancer's an easy thing. I also had colon cancer and part of my intestines removed.
Oh, man.
But I'm cancer-free. I know it sounds terrible. I'm cancer-free. I'm in health. I know it's a high-profile guy, but I think maybe he was looking for a little bit of sympathy. You know, there's a lot of men that have had, but hey, God bless him. I'm glad he's free of cancer, and I love you guys. Thank you. Thanks a lot for putting
me on. Dan, thanks, and glad that you've made it through your struggles. And that you come out on the other side of it. I'm sure it's not easy every day, but to be cancer-free is that's the hope, right? And you deal with all the other fallout after that. I think what is going to be interesting, Pearl, is obviously he's going to continue living his life, which is fantastic. But being a college football coach at any level is not easy. It takes such a huge dedication, commitment. It's physically taxing on you. I mean, he's standing on the sidelines with two amputated toes and dealing with the blood clots. Some of these games last 4 hours. You know, it's not easy. And so curious sort of how this brutal schedule is going to take its toll.
I mean, you're right. But, I mean, Joe Pa and Bobby Bowden coached till they were 80 and were physically able to do it.
Well, at the end, Joe Pa was up in the booth, right? I mean, that was at the very end.
I'm not sure you need him. I'm looking. I think physically, Deion is obviously one of the greatest athletes of all time. I think he can handle it physically. He's handled so much physically. I'm not really worried about that. I do think you bring up a good point, like all the energy in the offseason. It seems like he learned to delegate this offseason in a major way, because we haven't heard, like, the Colorado recruitments have all been disrupted. He's been completely out of the picture. As you mentioned earlier in the week, he doesn't go to high schools. So
that's what he said. Yeah.
Right. It's a different recruiting system there. You could have a figurehead there. I think, like, there, it sounds like he has said, everybody here helped me. And that's a good thing, right? I can imagine there are certain coaches who still try to micromanage everything. It seems like Deion's let go in a major way and said, I know he disappeared from the job for a while too. Now we know why. So I think Deion can figure out a system to do this. But you do, I mean, 4 hours. I was always worried about his legs. I thought actually that, oh God, is he going to lose his whole leg because of these circulatory problems? But yeah, I think physically he's going to be okay. I just think you do bring up a good point. Is he going to have the energy to do this? Is he going to? And if they're not really a contender, which is very possible, of course, it's Colorado football, is he going to stay interested? I don't know. I don't know what the future is.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. And as you heard from Andrew Bogish there, Deion, just one of the crazy news stories that happened yesterday. His with a positive ending. What happened in New York yesterday was just so awful. And we'll get to even more, including some big sports stories that you have to know about. Who is gearing up for perhaps the season of their life? Get to that next. Well, back to the Megan Perloff Show. Lots of news happening yesterday. Forget the dog days of summer. Lots of news happening, and not all of it great. You had some of the positive side, which is Deion Sanders cancer free. So that's, you know, a good thing. He had bladder cancer, but still dealing with the effects of it, but he is cancer free. But then we had the sad news that Ryan Sandberg passed away, Pearl. He had been diagnosed with prostate cancer, had overcome that, and then unfortunately it had returned and it spread. That got announced in January, and now here we are. It's almost August, and he passed away yesterday, sadly, way too young. And, you know, Rhino is funny because, like, I was too young, a little too young to remember, but I think he's somebody who not only was obviously a Hall of Fame second baseman and kind of revolutionized the sport in a way because he brought power to second base, which had never really been a thing before. Not only was a great defensive player also, but, you know, he's somebody I think who got national acclaim because the Cubs were on national TV coast to coast. And I think he got, you know, he would have been a big deal no matter what. But even outside of Chicago, he became a big deal because of that.
He had a little bit of an Ernie Banks vibe, though, in a sense. The team never won when he was there.
Yeah, at least made the playoffs, though.
He was the good player on the team that never won, I think. And also, you know, he's part of the worst trade in MLB history with my Phillies. It's famous as there was a string of bad. Every franchise has their worst trade.
Oh, like, yeah.
The one that the Phillies fans always regret was Phillies traded Ryan Sandberg, who is a prospect, who was blocked from second base and third base by Manny Trio and Mike Schmidt. I'm just reading. And they traded for Ivan De Jesus, who was okay, but I guess there were a lot of rumors he lied about his age.
So, oh, no.
So Ivan De Jesus was not the young up-and-coming shortstop the Phillies thought, and he quickly faded out, and Ryan Sandberg became a Hall of Famer, who would have looked great. Because then the Phillies hit a huge slump. And Ryan Sandberg was killing it. Yeah, I know you're a Mets fan, so you guys have a whole long list of those.
Oh, yeah, we need a top 10.
Sandberg, you're right. Sandberg was like a 100% approval guy, too. Like, nobody had a problem with Ryan Sandberg.
No, and, you know, it's funny. We were doing this Mount Olympus project all throughout the end of June and July. And I think, you know, Ernie Banks made both of ours, right?
Yeah, I think so, Mr. Cub.
And we put Mr. Cub there. Ryan Sandberg could have easily been on there as well.
Still
cut a huge figure in Chicago, was around the team a lot, doing the broadcasts at times, pregame, postgame. I mean, he could have easily been on that Mount Olympus.
Yeah, I mean, I think the real reason he wasn't because that team went 106 whatever years without a title, so if he had won a title, I mean, Ernie Banks had to do a lot. He had incredible, incredible success. When you don't win, it's hard to make a Mount Olympus. So I think that's ultimately why we owned Bears and Bulls. What was that guy that we both put on for Chicago?
Who, Michael Jordan?
Oh, yeah, Michael Jordan, right.
Bills in Houston. I'm like, is that who you were talking about? Bill, good morning. How are you?
Doing great. Huh?
We're good.
My college days, and then when I was in the military, it was WTBS and WGN, so we always watched the Cubs. And, man, Ryan Sandberg, he was right out of Central Casting, looked perfect on a baseball field, great fielder. But then being from Houston, Craig Biggio came along, and they couldn't be more different. He was dirty and scrappy, but they did. Both were between them, and, man, what a great era of baseball. That's all I have to say.
Bill, thanks for sharing that memory. And yeah, I mean, very different, than Biggio for sure. And, you know, just, you're right. I think someone with like that 100% approval rating, if he was a guy who, and you could hear it, you know, when he would talk about later on in his life, you know, you never showboating. Right? That was like his big thing. You hit a home run, you drop the bat, you drop your head, you run around the bases. You know, you don't show people up, you don't show out. And it was funny because I like the personality in the game. I think if you hit a home run, you should be able to, like, you know, moonwalk to first and like do cartwheels to second. I'm all about that. But I obviously can appreciate the guys who felt like they wanted to be way understated and just let their game do the
job. Oh, yeah. My favorite celebrations are Calvin Johnson, who quietly handed the ball to the official, was the baddest player ever, and Barry Sanders, who was like, would do everything, let your play do the talking. That's more my style, and I know that sounds old-fashioned. By the way, I'm looking at a rank of all-time second baseman. Ryan Sandberg and Craig Biggio seem to be tied together.
Yep.
A couple of rankings, right about the same level. Robbie Alomar is ahead of both of them, probably, just by a little bit, but they redefined the position. And I agree with that call. Like Biggio, and I don't review Biggio at all like I view Ryan's. Ryan Sandberg seemed like a gentleman, where you're right, Biggio is a whole whirlwind. Like he was a catcher turned second baseman. So I like that comparison that the caller made.
By the way, great nickname. Rhino.
Yeah. Could be in our nickname bracket.
Yeah.
Is that a miss?
I always love that name.
No, it's just adding an O where an E was.
Yeah, but it's a cool nickname, though. I mean, as a kid, I didn't get to watch Ryan Sandberg play because I was kind of too young by the time he retired, basically, when I got into baseball. But when they would talk about him, they'd be like, the Rhino, Ryan Sandberg. I'm like, that's a cool nickname.
I know.
Maybe because I'm a Spider-Man fan, I think of Rhino, the villain, supervillain Rhino, but I just thought always thought that was a cool nickname.
888-710-4ISN. We didn't have Rhino on there. We also don't have Mr. Cub on there.
No, it's hard to crack a 64 bracket. I know people get upset about how did this get in there. I'm like, all right, you find one to take out. All these nicknames are iconic on this list.
Mr. Cub. That's not like a great nickname. That's not like the fridge.
I don't know. We had Mr. Hockey on there. Of course, we had Gordie Howe.
Yeah, but there are a lot of Mr. and name the team, though. And Mr. Cub may be the most famous. But was Mr. Marlin going to make it on there?
Did Jeff Conine?
Jeff Conine.
We all know it.
How about Marlin's man? The guy who sits behind home plate.
That guy's the worst.
He's everywhere. He always wearing that bright orange.
Get a new jersey, man.
I think he needs it to pop on TV. I don't really know what that guy's deal is. I've never really cared to know.
He definitely wants you to know.
I know. Maybe that's part of it.
Yeah.
Stop trying so hard.
I remember I sat behind home plate once, and he was like, I was probably within like 50 feet of him, and I was just like, oh.
Could be worse.
Guy.
Could be that ball hawker. I forgot what his name is. That dude's the worst.
Who's always trying to catch those really meaningful home run balls. I forgot his name too. At least he's got a skill.
Zach Hample.
Yes. He actually has to do something. Like Marlins man he's a doctor, I think. I actually do know a little about him. He's a doctor and he's got a lot of money and he pays a ton of money to have these premium seats at baseball.
At least he's not trucking little kids just to grab a fly ball.
Well, Manny, you know what to talk. You had those dudes defending the wall at Yankee Stadium.
Those dudes are clowns.
Those are the worst.
Oh my gosh. Remember those guys?
The World Series, yeah.
Yeah.
Tweedledee and Tweedledum. Remember those
idiots,
two?
Morons.
We're going to defend the wall.
Wait a minute. I forgot about those two guys. Was that the infamous fifth inning? It was the same game, right?
It was earlier in the series. I've thrown that out of my memory, but
they
I remember
ripped
those.
The ball out of Mookie Betts' glove,
Well, they tried
right?
to. They weren't strong enough because they're morons.
They opened his glove and pulled the ball out.
Yeah, and they didn't even do it successfully, you morons. And you guys got thrown out of Yankee Stadium. Can't go back to Yankee Stadium. Got thrown out of the World Series, and you didn't even get the ball to pop out of Mookie Betts' glove. Way to go.
Also, it goes down as an all-time World Series loss for you guys.
Thanks, Max. I'm sorry. Appreciate that one.
I mean, I'm just calling it like it is.
Is it totally wrong that I kind of like those guys?
You should not like those guys.
As a Philadelphia Eagles fan, and believe me, we would do anything we could to intimidate the other team. I like this. No, the actuality, you do not touch an athlete. Like, that's way out of line. But I like trying to, intimidate the other team. If they had just kept to themselves and been, yelled at the guy, that would have been okay. Polite things.
I also think it was ridiculous that they thought this was going to work. We wouldn't have replay to show that they ripped the ball out of Mookie Betts' glove. What did they expect was going to happen?
Yeah. Or the fact that they felt they could just sit there the rest of the game. Bad. I won't do it again. You're out of here.
Remember, they said they were going to come back.
Yes.
And the Yankees had to come out and say, oh, no, we're not allowing them to come back. They're like, oh, yeah, they said that it's okay. You got to leave, but you can come back tomorrow for game four. And I was like, what?
I'm a season ticket holder. It's like, not anymore. You're not. I'm sorry. Your quarter season package has now been released. It's Austin Copabianco and John P. Hansen.
That's baseball.
Yeah.
But I think if they didn't get caught on camera, the Yankees would have welcomed them back in. I think that was everyone's mad at us. You guys are banned.
No,
sorry.
It didn't work. So it's not even like a Jeffrey Mayer type thing. That actually worked against the Baltimore
Orioles.
That kid
is a hero.
All those years ago. Yeah, that kid can't buy a drink in the Bronx. But
there it goes again. Oh, my goodness.
But the Yankees had to go on and win the World Series that year. This one, everyone wants to forget how bad this was against the Dodgers.
I think most people hate celebrity-ish fans. And I'm not even talking about the Spike Lees, but the Clipper Darryl and
people hate Spike Lee.
Marlins Man.
What's that Jets dude's name?
Yeah,
Fireman Ed.
I think those folks, I don't think they have high approval ratings, even amongst their own team's fans.
Oh, the Eagles guy with the mohawk who we see at Fanatics Fest every year?
I took a photo with him.
He's well liked.
Yeah, he is liked. I agree.
Raptor superfan, also very well liked.
People like that guy.
Drake doesn't like that guy.
Sits behind the back of the stage, and of course he doesn't.
I thought you meant Drake.